And so as we gather here tonight, we want to remember the most important thing that our God has given us, and that is our relationship with him through the death and resurrection of our Son. And we remember the day that we were brought into that relationship in our baptisms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Let's stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be here. We thank you for this relationship that you have created for us. And we thank you, Lord, that because of your great love for us, that you have provided everything that we need, Lord, to support this body in life and for the life that's yet to come. Lord, all of this, we give you great thanks and praise, and we pray that you would be here tonight as you serve us once again, Lord, through your word, and that we would be able to return grateful songs to you. Thank you for all of this, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. And let us begin by singing. On this Thanksgiving service, we're going to do things a little differently. And the reason we are is because we have two confessions during our service. Well, first is usually the confession of sins and later the confession of faith. But I want to do the confession of faith first tonight. And the reason is that it lists for us all the things that our God has done for us. Not all the things, but many of the things our God for us has done for us, the really big and important things. And so as we enter into this time of Thanksgiving, let us confess our faith. And as we do so, look at those things that God has done. We confess together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of sins, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Scripture for this evening is the Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 20. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or have heard from me or have seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty, and I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. All right, well, I don't know if you noticed, but right in the middle of this really long reading, there's a sentence that's just a little bit hard for me to take, especially in the context of Thanksgiving. All right, and here it is. I have learned what the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. Problem with that. Okay, here's the thing. When you get married, you have two families that come together in two completely different sets of traditions, right? And one year, early in our marriage, we spent Thanksgiving at my wife's house. And they do things a little different. See, in our house, we're all about the food. And I mean, like, lots of it and early. You know, we get back from church and there's not a lot of time passing because there's a whole bunch of really hungry people in the house and we all need to be fed. And my wife's house, they are far more refined. And it took me off guard. And the thing is that she warned me. She really did. She told me, you know what? We're probably not going to get to start eating until 2 o'clock, maybe 3. It's going to be a while. And I'm like thinking, I've done that before. That's not a problem. What I forgot is that I was always busy when I wasn't eating. You understand? I mean, I could go a longer time without eating as long as I wasn't thinking about it. But then we got there. And they were putting out snacks. But when I say snacks, I mean crackers, chips. These are not substantial. I was a young man. I had an appetite, and I was very uncomfortable. And then I read this about how Paul has learned how to be content when he's hungry. And I need to know more. All right, because I'm not always content when I'm hungry. And the thing is that in our country, you know, we think about that often. You know, we talk about how thankful we are. And most of us, I mean, the idea of being hungry is something we laugh at because it doesn't happen that often. I mean, normally food isn't that terribly far away and we can feed ourselves rather quickly. Until very recently, fast food actually has been fast. But we have to ask the question, well, what is it that Paul knew that made him content, whether fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want? Ah, that's another thing. Isn't that a weird thing? That Paul talks about this, I have learned how to be content even when I have plenty. Isn't that a weird sentence? I mean, who isn't content when you have plenty? Except that you know what? There's a story about that too. You know, here's the thing, is that when I was young, back in the day when I was starving to death at Thanksgiving time, you know, as long as there was a lot of food, I was fine, right? But what happened is I got older and I had more experiences. And I started eating better food, right? I mean, that back in those days, McDonald's was a legitimate meal choice. Now you say, let's eat at McDonald's, and I say, okay, right? Because McDonald's is food, but there's so much better food out there, right? And when I came to this church, then I started tasting like crazy things like, once I was satisfied with Budweiser, now craft beer, right? You know, once cheap wine was just fine, now it's like, you got to get the right stuff, right? There was a day that coffee, I wasn't so picky. Now I want Guatemalan coffee. Now, isn't this a crazy thing that even when we get to a point where we're not, you know, in want, we can even then find a way to be discontented. And don't we do that all the time in America? You know, it's not good enough to have a car. We want a nice car. It's not good enough to have clothes. We want the right clothes. It's not good enough to have, I mean, just look at all the choices we make and all the ways that even in the most wealthy nation in the world, during one of the most wealthy periods of that nation, we find ways to be discontent. And so the question is, what does Paul know that we don't know? Because he's found a way to be content, whether he is in plenty or in want, whether he's hungry or well-fed. He can find a way to be content. And so here's what he has to say. He says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Okay, that's good. But what does that mean? So let's go earlier. Because here's what happens is once we realize that we're not getting everything we want, the first thing we do is we start thinking ahead. And we start thinking maybe the next meal's not going to be what we want. Or maybe the next car isn't going to be good enough. Or maybe this car won't last as long. Or maybe I'm going to run out of whatever thing that I want. Or what. And all of a sudden we're starting to get into this emotion we call anxiety. And we're worried about the future. And God says, here, look. First, or Paul says, look, here, first, don't be anxious. How does that work for you? Have you ever done that to your wife? You know, she gets excited or upset about something, you just say, settle down, don't worry. How's that work? Men, you're all laughing. See, I get that. We're on the same page here. This is how it works. So how does Paul tell us, don't be anxious? Well, he tells us a little bit more than that. He tells us, don't be anxious, but instead of being anxious, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, which is a very, very verbose way of saying, pray. Take your concern to God. If you're worried about the future, can you control the future? Well, do you know anybody who can? Does he love you? Is he with you? Has he promised to hear your prayers? Has he promised to take you seriously? Has he promised good things for you? Well, then how about we take our cares and concerns to him rather than just internalize them and sit around and worry about them all the time? And so he says, take your requests to God, your requests and your thanksgivings. It's kind of important, right? And then he says this, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Does that sound wonderful or what? The peace of God. And remember the word peace? This is an important word, right? I mean, the word peace is not just like the absence of struggle, like we have it in our language, right? If it's like we're at peace if we're not at war. In these days, the Hebrew people, that was the salutation that they met each other with, right? They would say shalom when they greeted each other. And what you were doing is you were wishing peace on your brother. When they did that, they were wishing for not just the absence of conflict or war or strife, but the idea that you will have well-being in your life. Health, well-being, peace. Does that sound good? Well, here's what it says. It says, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, bigger than what we could even understand, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then it tells us what else we can do. It says this. Here's what we need to occupy our thoughts with, because you can't pray all the time. You can pray without ceasing, right? Just don't close your eyes and fold your hands while driving. Other than that, pray without ceasing. But it says this, it says, when you're not praying, what should you be thinking about? What should be occupying your mind, if not all these anxieties, right? Is whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything excellent or praiseworthy, that's what we're supposed to be thinking about. Okay, so how are you going to know what that stuff is? Well, it's all God's stuff. Right? I mean, it really is. It's like the stuff that God wants in this world is this list of beautiful attributes. It's this stuff, you know, the idea of us serving each other, the idea of us loving each other, the idea of us, you know, loving the way we have been loved and serving God by serving the people around us and giving thanks and praise to God for all the wonderful things he has done. And all of a sudden you start to understand this is what he's getting at. He's not getting at just going around and thinking happy thoughts. It's the thoughts that God has given us and delivered to us. And those are the things that are going to give us peace, because instead of worrying about all the things we can't control, we can look at God and realize all the wonderful things he's already done for us, given us, promised us. And because he is the God that is good for his promise, we don't have to worry. And he says, whatever you have learned or received or heard or seen in me, put these things into practice. So don't just think the thoughts about God, but do the things God tells us to do. And then it says that the God of peace will be with you. It sounds wonderful. And then he goes into this talk about how the Philippian people have helped contribute to the ministry of Paul. Basically, this is an example of one of the things that they did that was a wonderful thing that God really loves, and that Paul was so excited that they had done it. And he even says, I'm not so excited that you have given to my ministry and contributed toward the things that I'm doing. I'm not so excited because it gives me stuff. He goes, that's nice, but I'm excited about it because of what it does for you. How this contribution, this gift, this service, this act is a thing that brings glory to God. And in that giving glory to God, it enriches you. It makes, it helps you. And so he's so excited about that. And he says, the gifts you have sent, these gifts are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And the question is, well, how in the world did the Philippian people do this? I mean, the Philippian people had all the same issues in life that we have, right? They had things that they wanted. They had things that their families needed. They had things that they were saving up for, things that they were, you know, struggling without. But instead of focusing on their anxieties and their things, they focused on God's ministry and what Paul needed so that more people could be saved. And they contributed to that, which, if you're not careful, can lead back to the anxiety very at the beginning, right? Because all of a sudden now you've taken what wasn't enough in your mind, right? And you've made it smaller. To which Paul would say, What should you do with that stuff? Take that stuff back to God and turn it at his feet and say, hey, folks, God, I don't know. And instead of focusing on those anxieties, I'm going to focus on doing the work God has given us and on the things that God has told us. And I'm going to, and you say, well, that could lead to some financial ruin pretty quickly, couldn't it? I mean, if you just like support and then don't worry about it, right? So what does God have to say to that? He said at the very end, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So where is your trust? Is your trust in income, bank accounts, investments, property, the grain stored in barns and then tear down those barns and make bigger barns? Or is our trust in the one who provides all good things for his people? And that when we look at him, have our eyes on him, if he is the biggest thing on our horizon, the thing that we never take our eyes off of, if he is the center of our life, we will live in thankfulness. We will live without the anxiety. We will live in peace. Because he is good for his word. And he will continue to provide for his people as he has always done since the beginning. And so let us this Thanksgiving direct our hearts to him, the one who has provided all things, the one who, even though it cost him everything, made sure that we had what was necessary, not just for this life, but for eternity, that he took our sin upon himself and died the painful death on the cross for us so we can live forever. And if he is willing to do that, if he has gone that far for us, wouldn't he take care of our daily needs? And so we can live in peace with him. Can we pray today? Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks that you have brought us into this relationship with you, Lord. And in this relationship, Lord, you have revealed your purpose and also your promises. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to live with peace, to live knowing that you are the one who provides all good things and that we do not need to worry about the things that we cannot control because you control those things. Help us, Lord, instead of worrying about the present and worrying about the future, that we would focus ourselves upon the things that you have called us to do so that we can bring glory to you through our lives. And Lord, through us, you will work in this world. Thank you, Lord, for inviting us into this adventure. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Planning the service for tonight, they asked me whether or not we should have communion on Thanksgiving, and my answer was, well, I think so, because this is all about the blessings of God and being grateful for all that God has given us. And one of the most amazing things that God has given us is this relationship we have with him. This part of this relationship is this meal that he has given us, and we're Thanksgiving. Who's not looking forward to the meal? Right? I mean, the meal is a big deal in Thanksgiving, right? Well, let me tell you what, this meal is so much more. You know, this meal is the meal where Christ himself makes himself available to us, his body, his blood, his sacrifice, and the forgiveness that sacrifice earned for us, all delivered to us in this meal. And so I think it's most appropriate that we celebrate this meal before we celebrate that meal. And so let us, and to prepare for Holy Communion, This is a meal where we receive the forgiveness of sins. And, you know, we have these questions that I make the kids learn because it's so important that we examine ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 says that. It says that if we eat and drink without acknowledging the body of the Lord, we eat and drink judgment on ourselves, which doesn't sound like something we want to do. And it says that if we eat and drink without acknowledging the body of the Lord, if we do this in a way that is if we're in a way that is unworthy, we sin against the body and blood of the Lord. Again, something we probably don't want to do, right? And so let's make sure that we're prepared for this meal. And being prepared for this meal means that we are prepared to receive what God is offering. And if he's offering us forgiveness of sins, then the way that we are prepared for that gift is that we would acknowledge our sin, repent of that sin, and be prepared to receive the forgiveness. So please stand as we confess our sins and receive that absolution tonight. My friends, if we confess, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. By what we have done and by what we have left undone, we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sin. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let us now take the gift of communion. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." My friends, I ask that you would be, I think it's appropriate when we have fewer people in the church to be able to gather around the table of the Lord. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to do. And it helps us to remember that when we are taking communion, we are taking communion together, that it is the community of Christ, the ones who are baptized, the ones who believe, the ones who are receiving this gift of forgiveness because of the faith that God has placed in us, doing so. And then that we are gathering also in communion with God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for this. And so as we gather around the table together to receive this gift, remember the gifts, the blessings that come from this gift, that forgiveness of sins and that strength to continue to live a Christian life in this world as our God nourishes us with this meal. My friends, let us stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your presence, Lord, to receive your word, to receive your body and blood, to be served by you in these most amazing ways, Lord. We pray that you would continue to be with us, Lord, as we go to our families and enjoy the fellowship, Lord, of our family and friends. And I pray that you would continue to bless each and every one of us. Lord, I pray especially for those who are traveling this time of year, that you would get people to the places they are going safely, Lord, that you would send your angels to guard and protect each and every one of us, Lord, so that we may come together to glorify you again after this holiday. I pray that you would be with those who are struggling during the holiday with medical problems, Lord. Especially, Lord, we want to pray for Mary Borgschulte and Sandra Canada, who are recovering from surgery and just fighting infections. Lord, I pray that you would give them peace, give them comfort, Lord, and give them healing so that they can continue to be the women who serve you so readily. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of the families, Lord. I pray that this would be an opportunity for the holiday, Lord, would be an opportunity for parents to be able to pass on their faith to their children, because of the many blessings you have given us, Lord. You've made it so easy by giving us so very much that we would be able to help our children, Lord. Understand where true peace comes from, not from having, but from knowing you, knowing your promise, knowing your faithfulness. And knowing, Lord, that we get to spend eternity with you one day. This is, Lord, the beginning of peace. All these things we bring before you, Lord, and we pray the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. My friends, as we go our way this Thanksgiving, receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. And we sing the final song together. My friends, as you go your ways today, I just want to remind you the Christmas program, the Christmas schedule is on the back of the program for tonight, and so you have that. Please share it with people around you, your neighbors, your friends, your family, so they can take part with us with the Christmas season. And also, I want to make sure you know that as you leave today, you can pick up Advent devotions. They're already printed and in the back of the church on a table. You'll be able to grab them on the way out. This Sunday is the beginning of Advent, first Sunday in Advent. So it's kind of funny to have our Thanksgiving you know, service in a fully decorated church, but there's no time in between now and Sunday to get it done. Everybody's going to be too busy sleeping off turkey. And so this is how it has to be this year. So God's blessings on your Thanksgivings, and it's just wonderful to see you all here tonight. I'll see you in the back.